And so tonight we want to look in Luke chapter 4, and I do appreciate all of you being here. And so trust that tonight will be a help to us. Our heart, before we read, our heart is burdened about folks that are just struggling. And I'm not necessarily meaning struggling physically, but struggling spiritually. And I think of the lost individuals. I think of individuals that know the direction that they need to go. They know the truth. They know, but they choose not to. I think of those that are struggling mentally. I think those that are struggling physically, and all the different struggles that a person has. And so tonight we want to read to you a verse of scripture in Luke chapter 4. And of course, there's a lot that is taking place. Christ is on the scene. It is just after the temptation in the wilderness. And now he is preaching in Nazareth. He's returned. He's proclaiming the word. He's identifying with who he is, and the fact that he is an answer to prophecy being fulfilled. And so I want to begin reading with verse 14. And the Bible says in Luke 4, chapter 4, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as he was custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now here he is quoting from Isaiah 61, and it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the Bible says in verse 20 that he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and all eyes of, or the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasted on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we do lift up the request of prayer that were mentioned. We thank you for the praises. We thank you for the answered prayer. We thank you that we have the privilege of calling upon you. And Lord, we also know that there's still folks out there that are hurting, that are struggling, that are just having a difficult time in their life. We pray, Lord, that they'll look to you for their strength, their help, their comfort, their peace. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, or someone that is it where they need to be, that maybe is saved but yet is walking a guilty distance from you, that's living a life that wouldn't be pleasing to you, Lord, we pray that you'll open those eyes and cause them to realize that peace comes from Jesus Christ. We pray for our young people. We pray for those seven that received Christ, that you'll help them at such a tender age, that you'll help them to look to you. And so, Father, we thank you for our time together, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus came with a mission. And Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus proclaimed himself as the Messiah, which he was, The one that that would bring good news to those that were a distance from Him, His people. And I think of the terminology, or I think of the words that says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I want to think on that thought tonight. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. One of the worst things I believe that can happen to a person, no matter what they're facing, is a broken spirit. Because there's a lot of struggles in this life, and there's going to be a lot of struggles. But if a person's spirit is broken, it doesn't matter what they try or what they try to accomplish. It seems like that everything will go awry. And when a person expresses a broken spirit, they feel like giving up. They feel like that there's nothing that they can do that is right. They feel like that there's nothing that can be accomplished in their life, and their life is useless. And I think of the different causes that a person can have a broken spirit. And I believe top on the list is a life of sin. A life that maybe they got into something that they shouldn't, or maybe they went down the wrong road of some wrong decisions, and it snowballed. You know, and that's what happens to a lot of individuals. They, you know, when you go out visiting, and the preacher can attest to this, when you go out visiting, talking to individuals, it seems like that every person that you talk to gives a profession that they're saved. But yet their life doesn't point in that direction. They'll say that they were saved, and I hope they are. I hope that they have accepted Christ, and I'm not judging them, but I'm just saying that everyone you talk to is saved, but yet their life is going in the wrong direction. And there's no fruit, or there's no testimony to being saved other than just the words that I'm saved. And so sin can cause a person to have a broken spirit. Sin can take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And so sin is a problem. But there's also other things that can cause a person to have a broken spirit, and that is physical problems. You know, when a person wakes up and they have a physical problem, and they have a problem in their life, and it's those chronic problems that it can cause a person to get discouraged, and it can cause a person to struggle, and it can cause a person to in some aspects grieve because of their physical condition, and it can discourage a person, and it can cause a person's spirit to be hindered. And then I think of grieving, or grieving over someone, or grieving over something, maybe something that happened in their life that they just can't seem to get over. And there's many other things that can cause a broken spirit. We think of discouragement. Discouragement can cause a broken spirit, and even failure. Failure can cause a broken spirit. But the Bible says He can heal the broken spirit, or the broken hearted. And we understand that He can heal the broken hearted when it comes to salvation. But I'm convinced tonight that He can heal the broken hearted no matter what's going on in your life. Amen. And in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22, the Bible says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For it says, for I am God, and there is none else." And there's too many people looking in the wrong direction for help. They're not looking to the Lord. They're not looking to the Lord being able to help them. And sometimes we just want to almost say a simple prayer, and then all of a sudden it be gone. He will deliver and he will help and he will encourage and he will comfort. But a lot of what we deal with in life is life itself and the problems in life. And we learned last week in Vacation Bible School in our very first night as we talked about God's creation, and we talked about creation and how that God created and it was a perfect place. But then not too long after, Adam and Eve sinned. And they were tempted of the serpent. And they did what God told them not to do. And sin came a part of this world. And even they dealt with the problems in life after sin came about. So a lot of what we deal with in life is none other than it's just life, and it's the sin and it's the curse of sin that we deal with. You know, I think of a rose. And my grandmother used to love roses. Matter of fact, sure, I think your dad loved roses. Because when I lived up here on the Endicott, he came over to visit me. And I lived there for about 3 years in the rent house there on the corner. And he came over to introduce himself. And he said, come and see my rose bushes. And so I went around to see his rose bushes. But as beautiful as a rose is, there's thorns. There's thorns. So a lot of times in life, we just have to deal with life's thorns. But we have help. And we can be encouraged tonight that He is sent to heal the brokenhearted. So there's a few things that I want to make mention, and I want to use the scripture to of different situations that's in people's lives that can be an encouragement to us, and for us not to be discouraged, but for us to be encouraged because we have help. God has remembered the brokenhearted, for He sent a Savior to heal them. When a person has reached his or her limits with a broken heart, the mind begins to work. There used to be a commercial that came on back years ago, and there used to be, and it would be an advertisement, and they would say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And that came on quite frequently. But the mind can cause harm too, if we let the mind control us. Because the first thing that we do when we, I mean, think about some of the situations that you've had in your life. Think about, when someone says something to you, for an example, when someone says something to you, and maybe they don't pay attention to what you say, and the first thing you do is, I wonder why they said that. And then you begin to think about it. And then you call a couple of people and you say, well, what did they say that for? And then it'll cause a person to get discouraged, and that mind will start working. Well, they must be mad at me, or they must have said this, or they must have had some kind of issue, and so on and so forth. And so when you finally talk to that person, they'll say, did I say that? In other words, the point I'm making is that person didn't think anything about it. But a mind can cause havoc with a life if we allow our minds to control us. And that's the reason that I read that verse just a few moments ago, is the fact that don't let our minds control us, but let God's Spirit control us. Allow the Holy Spirit and allow God's Word to bring us encouragement. But when a mind begins to work, then the mind says, I don't think anyone cares for me. And then it begins to snowball into some thoughts that there's no hope for me. No one cares. The feeling like all have forsaken me. There's an emptiness and there's a uselessness. And then there's a deep discouragement in a heart because of the mind. Because of the mind. But I can encourage you tonight, and I can remind you tonight that God does care. God does understand. His eyes are open to each one of us. His heart is opened, and He will deliver us from whatever it is that we're dealing with. No matter what a person is going through, there's no problem beyond God's help. There's no problem beyond God's help, no matter what it is. There's a passage in the Bible that's in Luke chapter 8 that I want to share with you. And I shared a message a few weeks ago about a storm that was in some lives. And this is actually Luke's account of this same storm. But there's something that struck me as I was reading this in Luke chapter 8. Verses 22 and following, and the Bible says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' And then he arose and rebuked the winds and raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obeyed him.'" Now think of the situation that they were in, and they were in this storm. But something that caught my attention in Luke's account of this is the fact that they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. And I think of a person's mind, how that it becomes filled with discouragement. It becomes filled with the negative things. It becomes filled with things that are troublesome. And you see, that's, to me, is the fact that they were broken from the storm of life. They were broken from this storm that had taken on, and their boat was filled and they were in jeopardy. And I think that sometimes a person's mind, if we allow it to go too far, it can be in jeopardy. It can be in jeopardy. Can you imagine the panic that they must have felt as they were in this ship? Can you imagine the panic that they felt in their hearts? Everything was going along just fine. And then all of a sudden the storm of life came up and their world got turned upside down and their boat became filled with water. Their hearts must have been overwhelmed. Their hearts must have been overwhelmed. They must have been in the panic mode. Some of them must have been thinking to themselves, "What can I do? How can we handle this? What do we need to do?" And another thing is, when a boat is filled, they can't steer it. A filled boat is very hard to steer. It's very hard to steer. But you realize, as our mind is filled with discouragement, that it's very hard to steer in life. It's very hard to steer because our mind is filled with everything else. And our mind is filled with so much discouragement and all these things. You see, they couldn't help themselves, but they didn't give up. And that's important for us to realize tonight as a reminder, is we should never give up. We should never give up. And they went to the one that could make a difference. And they said, "Master, Master, we perish. And he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. You see, our minds can become calm when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our minds can be calm, and our minds cannot take precedence over us if our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the brokenness of a heart, you see, our hearts can become broken if we allow our minds to dictate what is taking place. You see, they were, when Christ came, and when he was proclaiming what I read to you just a few moments ago in the scriptures, they rejected him. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected who he was. And Jesus went to the cross. The mind. You see, there was a great calm when Jesus was on the scene with this boat. And then if you drop down just a few verses beyond that, there's another situation. It wasn't a storm of water. It wasn't a boat. But yet it was someone's spirit that was troubled. The Bible says in verse 26 of Luke chapter 8, and it says, "There arrived in at the country of the Galileans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and were not no clothed, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of David Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and it would kept him bound, it with chains and in the fetters, and he brake them the bands, and was driven out of the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him, and they brought him, and they would not command them to go out into the deep." And we can go on and read, and it talks about that, and there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountains, and they brought him, and that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and they ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and were choked. And when they had fed them, saw what had done, they fled and went and told into the city out of the country, and they went out and see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils was departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. You see what Jesus does? You see, Jesus healed the brokenhearted, and he healed that mind. He healed that mind. And there were those that were troubled about that. They were troubled. But notice in verse 39, it tells him he had a testimony now. It says, "Return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You see, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that made the difference. His mind was now focused on Jesus. His mind was now focused on Jesus because Jesus delivered him. Jesus delivered him. And then we could go on in that same passage in Luke chapter 8. And we won't take time to read it tonight, but there was two different problems. One woman with the issue of blood and one daughter that was sick and died. But Jesus healed the brokenhearted. He delivered the one that had the issue of blood, and he delivered the one that was sick and had died. Jesus. And then we go on to Luke chapter 9, and we see where Jesus fed the 5,000. Those that were hungry. He had compassion on them, and he fed them. Then we go to one of my favorite passages of scriptures, and that is in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 3 is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. And that is where Jesus changed a dying man's life. He changed a dying man's life. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus changed a dying man's life. Time and time again, Jesus healed, Jesus fed, Jesus raised, and Jesus saved. I don't believe tonight there's any problem that we will ever face that Jesus can't help us with. Amen. If we allow Him to work. But if our mind gets so foggy, and our mind gets so troubled on those things, and we allow the mind to control us, then I believe that our heart will be broken. I believe that our heart will be broken. It doesn't mean that we're going to like the things that's happening in our life. I could give you example after example in my life that I got disappointed, or that I got hurt, or that I had to deal with things in my life, and so on, just like you. But I can honestly say, when I look to Jesus, then He began to heal the brokenhearted in my life. And there's things that I can honestly say that I've prayed for, and I prayed for specific things to happen, and I prayed that, you know, that if they didn't happen this way, that I couldn't make it. And I prayed, and I asked God to help me, and I prayed, and God chose not to answer that prayer the way that I wanted it answered. But He answered it in the way that He saw fit. And I can give testimony tonight that I'm glad He did. I'm glad He did. Because there's some things that I thought that I couldn't live without, and there was some things that I thought that I couldn't be, I couldn't make it without that. But I found out that my focus was more on the thing that I wanted than on Jesus Christ. I've heard about Jesus most of my life. And there are things that I can give testimony to that He changed in my life. And He was the only one that could do it. I started down roads in my life that I'm grateful that He put up a big old stop sign. And I'm thankful that He directed me to a different way. I never know what an individual is dealing with. And the pastor can appreciate this. We never know when God lays a passage of Scripture on our heart, we never know what a person is dealing with. We never know what hurts they're facing, we never know if someone is truly saved or not. We never know these things. But God does. And so our prayer is always that God would use what He has impressed upon us to help someone. But if a life is going to be changed, God has to do it. And the Holy Spirit has to speak to that person. But here's what has to happen. That person has to want that change. and that person has to go through that door. Time and time again, I've talked to people, and I've witnessed to people, and they'll just say, I can't do it right now. I can't. And it's almost like they know and they're under conviction, but they just can't do it. They don't want to go through that door. I have learned, the older I get, I have learned, and I think you can probably appreciate this, I have learned that in a lot of cases, people are going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do. If it means something to that person, they're going to find a way to do it if at all possible. And I think about the fact that Jesus Christ was there and he quoted and he was there in the synagogue. And I thought it was something noteworthy to make mention that he was standing when he was reading, but then he sat down and he began to teach. Jesus has done exactly what the Bible proclaimed. He is the only one, this book and our Savior is the only one that you can depend on 100% of the time. He is the only one. He has the abilities to change lives. Jesus came as the Messiah. They rejected him. They looked the other way and they didn't believe. But Jesus went to that cross because he loved us. He went to that cross, although he was rejected, he went to that cross because he knew that was the only hope that man has today. The only hope. He is our help tonight. And he has come to heal the brokenhearted. Whatever that may be in your life, he can heal. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, in your scripture tonight, you gave us example after example of what Jesus Christ did in people's lives. And what Jesus Christ did in people's lives and what we shared tonight is don't even scratch the surface of what Jesus Christ can do in a life. That's just a few examples that you laid upon my heart. But Lord, we that are here tonight that know Christ as our Savior are testimonies of what you can do in a life. So Father, I pray if there's someone here or someone listening tonight that's struggling in any way, Lord, I pray that they would allow you to work in their life, that they would allow you to heal that broken heart, that they would allow you to work and take those steps and believe that you'll make a difference. Because Lord, we know that you will change lives. So Father, I pray that you'll do a work in hearts and that you'll even work in my own life as you work in others. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.